Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so that whole time I was on mute. I didn't even realize it. But okay, so it is a Hard Hits. It is Derek Felix here with you on a Monday. I said Monday? No, on a Thursday evening, early Thursday evening at 1:04 in the morning. And what I was going to say here is that the New Jersey Devils have made some news. And I wasn't going to do a show tonight, but then we had some actual sports news. Not the same boring stuff about which players are testing positive for coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic. Not the foolishness of an NFL player, Deshaun Jackson, and a former NBA player like Steven Jackson making just offensive comments and racist comments, to be honest. Nope, nothing like that. Not even anything about Yankees intra-squad or batting practice and Judge hitting a ball to dead center and Gary Sanchez doing the same. No, it's about the New Jersey Devils. Yes, Devils are going to make it official later today. They will take the interim tag off. Tom Fitzgerald, he'll become their new general manager, something I'm not that surprised by. And especially in light of some of the trades that he made. He got some really good returns, especially for Taylor Hall. Excellent return for Blake Coleman, too, from Tampa Bay. So he is the new general manager. The one thing that I was surprised about, because it kind of came out of left field, Lindy Ruff, who served as a Rangers assistant for the past 3 years, 1 year, first season with Alain Vigneault, and what was a pretty down year where he took over for Jeff Buchel, didn't last long at all. What, he last like a year? And then of course with David Quinn for the past 2 seasons, and season's still not over. And Lindy Ruff is going to become the new Devils head coach. Something that I didn't think was even plausible. Four months ago, I don't think anybody really envisioned Lindy Ruff getting another shot at head coaching. But Lindy Ruff has been a head coach. He's been around, all right? He's won a whole bunch of games. He was the most successful coach in Sabres history, doing what he did there, over 700 victories in his coaching career. Coach did a great job, got to a Stanley Cup final early in his career. After coming over as an assistant from Florida, took over for Buffalo for Ted Nolan in 96, a Jack Adams winner. They lost to the Dallas Stars in 1999 in controversial fashion. Brett Hull with his toe on the crease in that just awful crease rule. It was a bad rule, but still, you wonder if the Sabres could have won that game. What? What day? They have won a game seven. I guess we'll never know. So, here we are. Lindy Ruff lasted a long time with the Buffalo Sabres. 96-97 through 2012-2013 when they finally parted ways. Lindy Ruff got to, I think, about four different conference finals, at least one Stanley Cup final and three other conference finals. That Lindy Ruff, who coached maybe the greatest goalie of all time in Dominic Hasek, who did a great job with a team that I didn't think really had – they didn't have a – I wouldn't call them the most talented team that got to that Cup final in 99. When you had players like Michael Pekka, he was the leader of the team, and Miroslav Stan, he was the one guy who could really finish plays. Brian Holzinger, I think Audette was back with them as well. You know, it's strange. It's strange the way things work out. Sometimes James Patrick actually played for that team. And you had Jason Woolley. Jason Woolley with his wounded duck. The shot heard round the world, Rick Chanarek called it, when he won a game in overtime against the Stars. And it's really hard to remember everybody that played. Groshek was on that team. Michael Groshek, career underachiever, but he had one good playoff and was part of a big upset on the Flyers. Yeah, it's very interesting when you think about it. But when I think of the Sabres, I always think of Dominic Hasek. And I think of Lindy Ruff. And then Hasek wound up traded and wanted to play for a team that had a chance to win a Stanley Cup. They were really close, too, to reaching a conference final in 2000-2001. Kind of blew that series to the Penguins and got ravaging fashion. And then Hasek decided he didn't want to play for the Sabres anymore. And went to Detroit, won a cup the next year. That had to be very bittersweet. I know Brian Sanhorn, the longtime Buffalo Sabres, and my best friends, one of my closest friends, was still very happy for Hasek. Hasek got the better of Patrick Waugh, who did his stupid Statue of Liberty, and then the Red Wings destroyed and took apart Ra's Avalanche in Game 7 in Detroit, where they go 7-0. Yeah, Ra gave up, did that Statue of Liberty, and it cost. Lindy Ruff, he's a veteran. He's 60 years old. He is a lifer. He played for the New York Rangers, was drafted by the Sabres, and played for the Rangers towards the end of his career. He was a scrapper. And he was an assistant coach for the Florida Panthers expansion team under Roger Nielsen. And, yeah, he actually used to be pretty young. He's always looked the same, but, yeah, he just had one of those faces. And took over for the Sabres after Ted Nolan was dismissed. We still don't really know what the heck happened there, but obviously stuff that was not good. But Lindy did a tremendous job with the Buffalo Sabres. And I think Lindy gets a bad rap. I'm not going to say that he was the best assistant coach for the New York Rangers. I'm not going to say that at all. I'm not saying that. He ran the defense, coached the penalty kill. Been pretty up and down. It's had its struggles, obviously. But the personnel wasn't as good. It wasn't as good when he came here, and then he had to work with a lot of young defensemen. Young defensemen, you know, there's a lot of work to do when you got young defense. When you got a young defense, it ain't going to be easy. And what does Rocky say? He says, not all sunshine and rainbows, life. He's right. I think that Lindy Ruff should get more credit than he gets. Because all these clueless Ranger fans, they scapegoat him. And while I may not think that Lindy Ruff is the right hire for the Devils, for a young team, it's a little strange hire. It's a strange hire. And I read there's talk that the ownership did not want to exactly go the extra mile to pay Peter Laviolette, who's had a lot of success, too, and won a Stanley Cup with Carolina, and That would have been Lindy Ruff's Stanley Cup if the Sabres didn't have about 5,000 defensemen out. So many injuries. And that allowed the Carolina Hurricanes to advance and win the Stanley Cup. And those teams are very evenly matched. I've talked about it before. But I want to say that if the Sabres just had a couple of those defensemen, I think they would have prevailed, and I think they would have wiped the turf with the Oilers. I don't think I would have gone those 7 games at all. But sometimes injuries happen, and that was a great Sabres team, the best Sabres team that they ever had. And you talk about the clutchness of Chris Drury, and you talk about Daniel Briere, about Brian Campbell, and you talk about Ryan Miller at the top of his game, a Vezina winner. You could talk about a lot of Sabres that really got it done. How about Maxim Afinagenov and Tim Connolly and Derek Roy? Boy, I mean, they were loaded. Jochen Hess, I think, was part of them, too. I mean, they had a great roster. They were a terrific roster. Thomas Vanek, Jason Pominville. Yeah, I remember. I remember watching that game 5. It was in the second or overtime, maybe. It might have been the third. I think it was second. And I remember the Sabres got penalized again. They went down 3-on-5. And I don't know what I was thinking. I was watching it with the big man, with Brian. We're watching it. And I just told him, I feel a shorthanded goal coming. I don't know what on earth made me think that. Sometimes, you know, you just have these instincts and, hey, we're down 2 men. And I just had a feeling they were going to get a shorthanded goal. Pominville was out there, and what happens? They make a little clear, trap a couple centers. Pominville makes a unbelievable move, goes right around Wade Redden when Wade Redden was still an all-star before he became the 10-man with the Rangers. I kid. Look, Wade Redden put his best foot forward, but he was a broken player by the time he got to the Rangers. Went right around Wade Redden and abused Daniel Alfredson with just an unbelievable deke and beat Ray Emery and the Buffalo Sabres. They won. And they advanced to the conference final against the Carolina Hurricanes. A great conference final. A very competitive conference final. A 7-game series. That was the Stanley Cup. That was the Stanley Cup right there. And the Oilers were that's weird. The Oilers were kind of a surprise run right there. They had some guys step up, but they also had a guy by the name of Chris Pronger on their defense. That really helped. And they had a guy by the name of Dwayne Rollison before he went down in the Stanley Cup final. What were they down to? Like Ty Conklin at that point? But they also had this guy by the name of Fernando Pisani. He was scoring all these big goals for them. But truth be told, Carolina Hurricanes, Buffalo Sabres was the Stanley Cup final, the same way Rangers Devils in 94 was the Stanley Cup final, even though the Rangers had to go 7 games to beat the Canucks. And there are series like, you know, whoever wins is going to win the championship. So, and Lindy Ruff was there for all of it. And they got their hearts broken the next year. Ottawa got their revenge in the same conference final round after the Sabres took out the Rangers in the second round in 6 games. It was a good series. We were this close. Martin Straka scores with over 2 minutes left. Surprises Ryan Miller with a long shot. The Rangers just had to hold on for like 2:14 or whatever they had to hold on for. They couldn't do it. Rennie had the wrong personnel out there, Tom Rennie. We did a great job with the Rangers. Had the wrong personnel. Should have had Blair Betts out there. Instead, he had Michael Nylander, the Jagr line. Nylander got caught puck watching. Did not pick up Chris Drury. 7.7 seconds left. The same 7.7 seconds that Varel Yuzelkukin scored the tying goal to force the dramatic sudden death. Bob Mateau or the historic goal in double overtime. Yeah, I mean, but like this had a much worse ending. So I mean, that was a really great series. They fell behind by two games. Roosevelt scored a goal in double overtime to get them back in it. The referees kind of screwed the Rangers in that game, and they had to go to overtime because of it, and they had to go two overtimes. And they won game four. They even the series. Game five, they were this close. That close. Going up 3-2. With Lundqvist looking great, looking like he had the upper hand. And I'm not saying that they would have won game six. I think their Sabres were a better team. But we'll say that it would have been a great opportunity for the New York Rangers to pull the upset and go to a conference final in 2007. We all know what happened. Chris Drury found a rebound. A delay of game penalty on the Rangers. That stupid delay of game rule early in the first overtime. And Maxim Afanasyev wound up. As soon as he wound up, I knew they were screwed. And he scored. Scored the winner. It deflected off Jed Ortmeier. And the Sabres would come into MSG and wrap it up in a really exciting game six, a very high-scoring game. But the Sabres just had more firepower. And it didn't matter that Jágr scored a couple of goals. I had about 4 or 5 points. They just didn't have enough. And they wound up losing by a goal. I think it was like 6-5. That was a great game, actually. It was a really good game. But I was proud of them. But Lindy Ruff was there for all of it. He was there for a lot of great times. And then they started losing their key guys. Daniel Briere to the Philadelphia Flyers. Chris Drury to the New York Rangers. Drury still works for the Rangers, actually. He's the assistant general manager. Well, they refused to let interview for other jobs. Yeah. Afanasyev eventually went back to the KHL. Ryan Miller took a downturn after 2010, after that Olympics. That's the last year the Sabres made the playoffs, too. And I think they got eliminated by the Flyers, and they haven't been back to the playoffs since. And Lindy Ruff, of course, once things went downhill, you know, every coach has an expiration date. And Lindy Ruff's expiration date turned out to be the 2012-2013 season, a little bit of a shortened season, 2013. And they replaced him with Ron Ralston, who had no coaching experience. He had no experience, at least the NHLers. And I remember him coaching USA Hockey. And he did coach in the minors for Buffalo, but he was just totally outmatched, and they haven't made one good coaching hire since. They've all sucked since Lindy Ruff left. That's the part fans will leave out. You know, Lindy Ruff lasted 17 years in that organization. That's freaking crazy. He was the longest tenured coach for a long time. Yeah. Then it became Greg Popovich. Still somehow hanging around San Antonio in the National Basketball Association. A sport that I don't care about anymore. But and Lindy went to the Dallas Stars, made the playoffs a couple of times. Second time, they had 109 points. Got to the second round, lost to the Blues. And then they missed the playoffs the following year, and at that point they just decided, you know what? And I never understood Lindy Ruff in Dallas after what happened in 1999, but Lindy Ruff, he coached 4 years there, and then he came to the Rangers and was an assistant for 3 years. And everybody wanted to just, everybody scapegoated him. Oh, it's all his fault. What a bunch of malarkey. Really. So, wait, telling me that he didn't help develop Ryan Lindgren, Adam Fox. He's got great knowledge and got great talent. Tony D'Angelo, look at the improvement. You're telling me that he hasn't contributed to those developments of some of those key defensemen that are a big part of this team's future. Yeah. It reminds me of some stuff that I talked about on the last show where the Black Lives Movement, they don't want to tell the full story. Neither does the mainstream news media channels. And sometimes you got to tell the full story. And that's the same thing with some Ranger fan bloggers. I'm very biased. So I think there's a lot of unappreciative fans. They just like to blame whoever. Let's just blame it all on one person. Look, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I was pretty tough on AV when they lost to the Kings, even though the Kings were a better team. I knew that. But, you know, I felt that the strategy for those third periods that they had leads in those games against the Kings was not the best strategy. And with them sitting back, that was not going to work. Just was not going to work. I'm tough on coaches, but Lindy Ruff's going to get another opportunity, and maybe he's better suited to be a head coach. And this is probably his final opportunity, his final chance. And this is a guy that's got a lot of emotion, he's got a lot of energy. What's he got left in the fuel tank? That's the question. Something that I did on a little bit of a Periscope on my Twitter feed for, where I talked about this. I laughed about it earlier. I had to laugh about it because you got to laugh about it. The Devils hired Lindy Ruff. They're going to hire Lindy Ruff. I guess it's ironic. I don't know. I mean, what's my Devil blogger thinking? What's Hassan thinking? We have not been able to locate Rob Davis the entire day. I don't know if he's just working or he's just, or maybe Rob Davis. Maybe Rob Davis just decided to hide. Set it to hide in a new cave. So, I don't know. But what I do know, Rob predicted that Lindy Ruff would be hired because that's just how it's been for the Devils. And how many Devil fans are going to be behind this hiring? Are they all going to just not give it a chance? How will Lindy Ruff fit in with whoever they take seventh and Jack Hughes in his second year? All right, so I'm back. I accidentally hit the wrong button. Yeah, that would happen while I'm talking about this scenario of Lindy Ruff. This is Derek Felix of Hard Hits, Hard Hits Network, and talking about the soon-to-be hired Lindy Ruff of the New Jersey Devils. How many Devil fans are behind this? Will anybody give it a chance? Can he help Jack Hughes develop a little bit? I mean, hey, Lindy Ruff's a good coach, man. I know people don't want to hear that, but he is. He is a good coach. People just want to talk about what, you know. Maybe there is a fire. You know, he hasn't been a head coach in a while. It'll be interesting. Will be pretty interesting to see how he does. They got a young roster. They got to make some changes though. I'll be curious to see what the New Jersey Devils look like. And I don't understand why they would start the following season, like at the beginning of December. So I'm hearing from Jan Levine, like, wait, your Stanley Cup final, Game 7, if it goes to that, it'll be no later than October 2nd. And then you're going to have your draft with your placeholder team getting the best prospect, was going to be a huge goal scorer. You're going to have that. You're going to have free agency. You have a flat cap, which means Eric Lundqvist likely to get bought out by the Rangers. And they have too many goalies as is. And Shesterkin is really the guy. And Gorgiev is cheap. So, and they picked up a goalie so they could expose them. If they keep this goalie, like, it's a goalie that they would probably expose for the expansion draft the following year for Seattle, where Lundqvist could wind up if he still wants to play. If he still wants to play at the age of 40. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, that's what you could be looking at. Now, he actually, he'd be 39, I think, right? 39. That'd be his age 39 season. So, we sometimes, we just like to look at certain things when it comes to, whether it's coaches or our teams. It was the same thing with Brady Shea. He's the scapegoat for everything. And Shea underachieved. Yeah, he had a pretty good rookie year, and maybe AV knew what he was doing when he had him on the third pair. Lindy Ruff has 736 victories, seven more games, and he reaches 1,500 games coached as head coach. Pretty damn good. I mean, he's got a good resume. So, all right. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's a little bit of a strange hire. Maybe it is. Maybe Josh Harris and that Devils management, the ownership, same ownership that has the Sixers that have been an underachieving team, maybe they don't know what the heck they're doing. I don't know. I even checked blog. I'm wondering if Hassan wrote anything or if he's going to wait until tomorrow, wait for it to be official. All right, I'm going to write something about it. I'm going to write a piece talking about Lindy Ruff, and it's not going to be a critique of Lindy Ruff, because I'm not like some of these fan bloggers, and I'm not some of these fans who just like to just look at Lindy Ruff like he's the cause for Corona, he's the cause for everything. That's just not how it works. David Quinn is the head coach. His system. Lindy Ruff does run the defense. Can anybody argue against Ryan Lindgren and Adam Fox's D-pair? Can you argue against Mark Stahl and Tony D'Angelo, pair that seem to have good chemistry together? Can you argue? Maybe you could argue when Brady Shea was paired with Trouba, it just didn't work. And now you're stuck with Brendan Smith. I don't know. I mean, maybe the extra time will help him. Look, he's not the best skater, but he plays as tough as he can. The penalty kill got a little bit better. They showed a little bit of improvement. They scored a few shorthanded goals. They got like 7 or 8 shorthanded goals. Mika Zibanejad being a big reason why. Jesper Fast, Rhett Howden. They have guys that are good on the penalty kill. It's just Strom plays some penalty kill too. Well, maybe it's me. For me, at least, anyway, I feel like the Devils just got a hell of a lot more interesting. I just didn't see it coming. Maybe I should have. Rob did. Rob saw it coming. He did. I didn't. But he did. When I see Carolina activated Sammy Vatanen from the IR, oh my God, that's right. Yeah, their defense is going to be a hell of a lot tougher to play if this 5-game series comes off. They're going to have Dougie Hamilton back. You know how he could control the play. I mean, you've got Jacob Slavin, probably the most underrated, underappreciated defenseman in the league. Sammy Vatanen, if healthy, he doesn't have to play top pair. Where he was kind of out of place, he can play what? He could fit into their second or third pair, second pair. Their defense is going to be a lot better. That's going to be a tough series. That will be a tough series to win. $81.5 million, and that's what it's going to be. So, Lindy Ruff. Eddie Lack actually announced his retirement. Eddie Lack had seen his better days anyway. This is the New Jersey Devils roster. They have almost $9 million in cap space. Why don't we look at the free agency things here? I just want to take a look at a couple of things here. Okay. Let's look. I still got Zajac. He's got one more year at $5.75 million. He's not going anywhere. Got the nil trade clause and one more year, and then expires. Well, it expires, and if they're not a playoff team, they could always trade him, ask him if he wants to waive it, and maybe go to a contender, or he could just stay there. He's been Mr. Devil for a while. Kyle Palmieri, same thing, 4.65. That's a bargain. Kyle Palmieri can pop 30 goals. And we get about 12-13 on the power play. $4.65 million with a limited no trade clause. So he has a list. I think they should extend him. I'd extend him. Palmieri should be part of their team moving forward. I think he's worth keeping. How about Gusev? Man, they gave him $4.5 million. He just doesn't look like he could play 5-on-5. I mean, he does have some skill. He's got a moderated ultra rated clause, too, $4.5 million. I mean, you look at Palmieri's salary, and then you look at Gusev's. And all three of those guys can become unrestricted next following year. So that's interesting. Miles Wood, $2.75 million, locked in. Locked in through 2022, then becomes restricted. Zaka at least has carved a role for himself. He's a good penalty killer, a threat shorthanded. Not the player they thought he was going to be, but a guy that will score double-digit goals, and he just hasn't panned out the way they thought. Nico makes a lot of money. They gave him $7.25 million. They extended him. He is not unrestricted until 2027. I see him as a two-way center, a guy that will be their second-line center, and I think he could put up 60 points. 60 points is rational. I thought he would be a 70-point guy, but he looks like he will be a 60-point guy. I mean, if he's a 60-point guy, that's a lot of money you'd pay, but everything costs now, and he's young. He'll get better. Jack Hughes, obviously, he's going to get a lot better. Joey Anderson, I don't know. Michael McCall, I couldn't tell you. John Hayden, don't know. Jesper Bratt's he's a good skater. Kind of reminds me a little of Carl Hagelin. He's got some real great transitional speed, can play penalty kill. I just don't know what his high end is. Maybe he's just the guy who gets, he could get 12 to 15 goals. He'd be like that, kill some penalties, not going to play power play. A little bit like Carl Hagelin, maybe. Kevin Rooney, an overachiever. P.K. Subban, what do you do with P.K. Subban? $9 million. I know. Are they picking up? Yeah, they're picking up the whole salary. Wow. That's through 2022. That's rough. Nimitz Severson is not good defensively, but 4.166 or 4.167 million cap hit through 2023. That's a bargain. Because Severson will score double digit goals just about. And he should put up. He'll put up points. He'll play power play. He's an enigma in his own end. And that's all I'll say about it. Will Butcher. Butcher had that great rookie year, took some steps back. Will his offense come back? That's the question. He's a little bit more of an overall defenseman now, 3.733. And then it gets kind of thin. Merkel Mueller is arbitration eligible. Connor Carrick's kind of an overachiever, 1.5 million clocked in for next year. Not bad. Colton Mermis, I don't know enough about. They got Blackwood, of course, still on a rookie contract for one more. He's a restricted this summer. Corey Snyder, though, has a no trade, $6 million through 2022, he could be a buyout candidate. Or maybe they'll keep him and he'll just maybe they'll take that Russian goalie, Askarov, at the number 7 slot. Because I think that would be a good way to go. And that way he can continue to develop. Makes a little bit of sense. Jesper Boqvist, supposed to be part of their future. Ty Smith. That was their big first-round pick a couple of years ago. Disappointing that he didn't make their roster the second straight year. Kevin Ball is the big D prospect they got. The physical specimen that they love. They got him in the whole deal. Guy to keep an eye on. Anybody else here that stands out? Nathan Bastion. I think he's just a minor guy. Well, I'm not an expert when it comes to the Devils. I'll readily admit that. Okay, so I'm not gonna pretend that I'm an expert on them. And I can't believe this is what I'm talking about. But this is what I'm talking about because they are making a coaching change. So, and Lindy Ruff is going to coach them, and I'm very curious to see how that's gonna pan out. And be interesting. You know, I really should have just done half an hour. And yes, Hasson did put up an article. And let's see what he has to say. This is on NewYorkPuck.com. You can find the article. Devils to retain Fitz as GM, hire Ruff as coach. Weeks, of course, broke the story. He says he's not surprised. He kind of saw that Fitzgerald would be the quote-unquote general manager. He knew that was coming, just like I did. Now, Nasruddin did a good job, Elaine Nasruddin, as when he took over, but they obviously felt that Nasruddin, maybe he's better off as an assistant. He was part of the John Hines staff. He thinks that maybe Nasruddin will wind up with John Hines' staff in Nashville. That's a possibility. I mean, because he was one of Hines' assistants that took all. He did it, and they played hard for him. Process of elimination suggests that Fitz would be the long-term GM. Other than interviewing Mike Gillis, which seemed almost perfunctory. Yeah, that was just basically, yeah, just doing due diligence. Since Gillis had little interest in going back to the general manager, he only did it once, and he did it with Vancouver, right? There were a few other known interviews. Fitz probably could have got a job elsewhere. And he doesn't look at it as controversial, even though he was under Ray Sherrill, the former GM, a guy that, you know, at one point was really good. Ruff on the disappointed from the aspect of the fact that the Devils had so many interviews. They interviewed a lot of people. They interviewed Peter Laviolette. There was another rumor, of course, about Gerard Gallant, who I thought would have been a great choice. And there's the curious Richard Gromberg speculation, which died down after the highly regarded overseas coach reached an extension of his club team. Ah. Yeah, I mean, if that happens, yeah, that usually knocks somebody out. It just seemed like after waiting months on interim hires to see what the finals would be, retaining one guy and hiring another assistant they could have hired weeks ago was a bit of a letdown. I understand. All right. He says he's actually less anti-Ruff than most. He does. Yeah, I mean, he's got a .560 career winning percentage. Looks good. Sure, not a lot of ton of playoff success recently. That's true. Only one series wins until 7. Ruff is a proven guy. That's true. I mean, he should be able to command respect behind that bench, some of those young players' attention. And he is more of a proven guy, kind of like what they have with Pete DeBoer. Maybe Brian, a longtime service, will have more critical things to say about the man, or Derek for that matter. Since we're, you know, I'm going to come out and I'm going to critique Ruff because I feel maybe he's a better fit as a coach. Yeah, what happens now if Ruff does Ruff stay on the staff? He might stay. I mean, just as an assistant for the playoff thing. I mean, he doesn't really take over until whenever the Devils get going. So this is his last kick at the can. It's true. This is a good blog because it's very concise. It's to the point. He just hammers his points. And so here it is. This is an interesting analogy by Hasson. He felt like some of the guys that were at the U of Olympic tees. Yeah, that's something Brian would say. I can understand that. But in the end, as a Mets fan, he is a Mets fan, it's a little reminiscent of when Terry Collins came aboard. Terry, of course, was known as a hothead, and I think had managed the Astros, and the Mets gave him a chance. And what happened? Terry became this lovable guy, and he was always sticking up for his players. And the Mets had a pretty damn good run. They had a darn good run. Made a World Series. They had a great run. You know, of course, the Cespedes trade had a lot to do with it, but yeah, but the pitching staff that they used to have. It wasn't just DeGrom. You had Matt Harvey. Now Matt Harvey can't even find a roster. It's pretty sad. It's pretty much done. Done at, what, 31 years of age, 32? It's pretty sad. Harvey Dent, as I like to call him. Look, Lindy has been there before. He has been there. He's done this job before. So it might not be the worst hire in the world. It might not be. So, I mean, why not? I mean, maybe there is some logic to it. I don't know how many years he's getting. Maybe I don't think it would be more than 3 years. It's got to be his last stop. I think his take an interesting perspective on the hiring of Lindy Ruff. I'm tweeting this out right now. So, how will it go? How much profit will it be? Are they expected to make the playoffs next year? Probably not. It's interesting. It's an interesting move. I got nothing against Lindy Ruff because I'm very rational when it comes down to it. And I've said, and I will have my piece. I'll write a piece on it. And then, you know, I'm probably going to do two posts tomorrow. I'm going to layer today. The first one is going to be on Lindy. And it's not going to be a critique either. I'm going to talk about some of the development of some of our players, some of the Ranger players. Because I think that's part of it. And it wasn't getting discussed enough. And then I'm going to do a post. I'll do a post on when this, when they're supposed to start up camp and just when the playoffs are supposed to begin. Both pieces, I don't expect them to be long pieces. I think they'll be concise. So I got no problem with what the Devils did here. So they go and they hire a guy that has been there before. And we'll see where it goes. There are 12 minutes remaining in this abbreviated hard hits. A hard hits where I screwed up. And I just feel that maybe, just maybe, there is a method to the madness. So, So maybe I was a little harsh when I tweeted, this could be the worst move in franchise history. You know what? I think I was a little harsh. I think I just didn't. I think it was more amazement, astonishment that they really decided to hire Lindy. There were better candidates for this position, especially Gallant. But they decided on Lindy Ruff. I mean, well, so I wish I could get a devil's person on this show. I would love to pick the brain of somebody and just and talk about this with somebody that knows the Devils, and I'd like to feel it out a little bit, get a little bit of a review, a little bit of perspective. I mean, it is what it is. Too bad Rob is not around. I mean, we got 10 minutes left. And JPG, of course, is stirring things up because I'm talking hockey. Like, I'm not allowed to talk hockey. You know what? Hey, it's my show. I'll do what I want. I don't, you know, maybe it's good that JPG is no longer part of the show. But I miss him. I miss the guy because the guy brought a lot to the table. But Giannora could be a little hard-headed. He can be a little hard-headed when it comes to the hockey, as we all know. So, I guess there really ain't much to say. I pretty much have said it all. We are where we are. What about COVID-19? What kind of effect, if at all, will it have on this upcoming tournament? I mean, there are still a lot of question marks, when it comes down to it about what's going to happen. And that's the truth. You gotta be a little bit truthful. By the way, on July 7th, 2010, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. That is one of my favorite movie quotes right there. If you know movies, then you know what it's from. So, and I shouldn't have to repeat it. I shouldn't have to. So, I just want to, I want to get things done. I do. And I want to be successful. I want to make this show good again. But it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of consistency. And it's going to take a lot of different things. Gene Salatis. Oh, okay. All right. So I got my brother coming on. I'm sorry for not. I was looking at something on the Facebook. Without further ado, I'd like to bring on the one and only Justin Felix, JNF, one of the better minds that there is when it comes to this stuff. What's going on, bro?
Nothing. You're talking hockey?
I am talking hockey, yeah. I didn't expect to talk hockey, but this would be a rough thing. Rob said it was going to happen. That's the crazy part. He did say.
No, he said he wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
He said the same thing to me. Do you think, I'm sure Rob's probably not on board with it. I read more of a logical take. Huh?
He's not.
But I read more of a logical. Why, did you hear from Rob? Or were you just saying?
No, I told you 2 weeks ago before.
Okay, well, all right. I read more of a logical perspective from Hasson on NewYorkPuck.com. Hey, Lindy Ruff's got a lot of success. He's been a pretty successful coach in the league. I think, look, maybe he was a little bit of a strange fit with our team as an assistant coach. But when people, but the people are out of touch when they want to blame Lindy Ruff for everything. When you look at the development of some of our young defensemen. I think that Lindy Ruff deserves some credit there, too. So I think they made some strides. So,
I don't think he's to blame for anything. Look what he has to work for.
Of course not. People are just very stupid.
People expect
very
too much. They're idiots. We're all idiots.
Who was the hottest team?
I'm not going to make it sound like it's a big loss for us. It's not a big loss.
It's not. Who was the hottest team when it paused?
Us.
Great. Yeah, it was us. So, I mean, something was going right. I mean, aside
I don't care
from the
they
fact
hired
that
him
they
let them hire him.
No.
I think I wouldn't have hired him, though.
But, yeah, I just thought the timing was a little strange. But anyway.
What I said to Rob a few weeks ago in the text was get someone new, let someone new coach. Like the Rangers did with a college coach or like someone that's in the AHL or someone like that. Why does it always have to be like the same NHL coaching carousel? I don't understand.
It's a really strange thing. Why do they always
recycle? All sports are like that, though. All sports are like that.
The NBA is not like that. They'll hire guys.
There's no NBA coaching carousel, you call me?
I didn't say that, but I'm talking about but some teams will actually hire guys that don't have that much experience or any experience. So that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying about it.
What did Hasson say?
It was just very logical. Very logical. I mean,
I didn't even see his
argument. Talked about his win percentage and just a lot of different things. So, I mean,
don't know if it's going to be that hard, to be honest, but I don't know.
He said it was a little bit of a letdown. He knew Fitzgerald would get the GM job. Fitzgerald made some good trades. He made some real good trades. So, I mean, they got an excellent return for Taylor Hall.
Right.
They got a real good return for Blake Coleman. And they also traded Sammy Vatanen. I forgot that Vatanen was on Carolina. So, yeah, I mean, that's problematic for the Rangers because Sammy Vatanen doesn't have to be – because Dougie Hamilton will be healthy. The only guy who might not be healthy on that blue line is Brett Pesce. I mean, Brady Shea will be on their third pair probably. Brett Pesce.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah, he's a pretty underrated player. Jacob Slavin, you got Jacob Slavin, you got Dougie Hamilton. Vatanen, and if he's healthy, he could help them. And they also
I can't wait until the Rangers maybe possibly lose their playoff thing against Carolina, and then the Rangers idiotic portion of the Rangers fan base limps to Shorkin like, oh, it should have been Lundqvist. Meanwhile, it's good experience for him either way. So
I'm not expecting to win a cup anyway. Nobody is going to do that.
Are you sure about that?
I am sure about that. I think the more crazy thing is, that they're going to be more excited that if they lose, they could be the placeholder that wins the you know, whatever, the draft pick, which is just ridiculous in itself. So, trust me, I know how these fans think, and that's what I think.
People will be second guessing that if Shesterkin doesn't win.
It's a 5-game series. I mean,
yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
But, you know,
so,
there's still a bunch of idiots out there, so, you know. I recall Lundqvist not winning his first playoff series. So it was good experience.
It was still a good experience for me. Fuck, you know what? I've had enough. Fuck the idiots. Don't ignore the idiots and just let's just ignore all that stuff. That stuff is just so stupid. All right, I don't want to talk about that.
But it's annoying to know about.
All right, it is. But
Lundqvist got a good experience in his first playoff series against the Dodgers.
I'm not focused on that. All right.
I'm just making a point.
Yeah, well, it seems like you're kind of obsessed with it. I don't know.
I'm obsessed with it?
I don't know.
Because they brought it up?
It seems like it. It's annoying.
He got good playoff experience his first year at the Devils, and he won the next year. He won around the next year, so.
He wasn't right in the Devil series. Everybody knows that. He was hurt.
What I'm saying is...
Oh, that didn't matter.
It was still good experience though for him.
Yeah. Look, every young player...
That's the way Shesterkin should be looked at. Even if he doesn't win anything, you know, it's still experience.
My opinion has not changed on him. I think he will be a Vezina candidate for a long time and be a top 3-4 goalie. So I got nothing
bad
to say about him. Yeah. So
neither do I.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any thoughts about this? Well, look, they had no choice. They have to have this flat cap, 81.5. Does that make Ryan Strom maybe expendable or a goner? Because they're gonna have to navigate it a little differently, obviously, you know. Not everybody
maybe to buy out one close, who knows?
I think Lundqvist being bought out is very possible now. It's more possible because
I thought it was not going to be possible. To be honest with this thing.
No, it would be. See, I don't think it would be as possible if the cap was going to be what the cap would have been. You know, I think that maybe they would have brought him back.
Yeah, whatever.
But I think that with it being lower, a lot of things get taken into consideration, Justin. And I have trust. I have faith in how they run things now. So I'm not
too
concerned.
What do I? Sanders not there. So
yeah.
Well, he's still in the background somewhere, but I don't know.
I mean, he's the president of. What is he? Is he team president or is he retired? He's retired, right?
He's not a president.
Oh, that's great.
He's also president thing. He's just an advisor to Jim Dolan, whatever that means.
Look, I'm fine with where they're at.
So am I.
You know what? I would just like to see them be able to play the Hurricanes and see how it goes.
Right. Okay.
I don't know if it's going to happen because I can't say it's going to happen positively, you know. But that's what I want to see. I want to see them play. That would be nice, you know. Just to see how they do. How will younger team against a team that's got a little bit more grit, a little more... They just have a little bit more, you know?
Huh?
Don't forget, they were in the conference final last year. People forget that.
I know.
I mean, obviously, the Rangers would have the edge next. I'll give Panarin the edge over Aho, Teravainen, and Svechnikov. But out of those three, Svechnikov scares me the most, because I think he's going to be a superstar. He's got power moves. He also scored two little cross goals. He's got star written all over him. So I don't think it's going to take long for him. He was already on the rise. So. I think he'll be very tough to handle for the Rangers defense. My emphasis is on Jacob Trouba. think he'll be very important.
Right.
He'll have to play better. He has playoff experience, and he'll have to be really tough. And some of the secondary players for the Rangers, like Jesper Fast. I know what Fast is. He's a gamer. Ryan Strom. I'm talking about Ryan Strom. He had so much success during the regular season. I'm curious to see if Kapil Kakko does get cleared. I want to see how he looks. He could be important. Filip Hedl, who slumped badly in the second half. That's another guy to look at. So I'm looking at some of those secondary guys.
Right.
Maybe even a Brett Howden. Brett Howden, who knows how to play the game.
I heard the schedule's going to be the NHL season's going to start in December next year.
I think it's crazy. I know about that, and I think it's, you know what I think? Here's my personal opinion about that. It's
mm-hmm.
too soon, and players could be worn out by the time spring rolls around.
Mm.
So, I would have
made it January. I know.
The NBA
is
doing the same thing.
I don't want to see it be a permanent thing. That's it.
The NBA is doing the same stupid thing, and I just think it's foolish. They should give them more of an off season. What do they think? They're just going to be able to jump right back in. I mean, this thing does involve 24 out of the 31, soon to be 32 teams. So it's not easy. It's not an easy thing. When you look at it, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially, you know, the teams that make the deep runs, they might have – yeah, it's problematic. I just don't understand the need to – look, you want to have your – I understand you want to have your NHL draft pretty early. Once the thing ends, that's fine. I understand all that. You want to have your free agency and your buyout period and your free agency. Yeah, you get that going. You get that going. Just like you, because that stuff comes right after, pretty much comes after the Stanley Cup's won, and then you have your award show, and then they do all that stuff. So, yeah. But I just think that, at worst,
right,
or it's start around maybe at Christmas or after Christmas. That would be better, or a little before Christmas. I just think that there needs to be a little more of a. What's the word I'm looking for, Justin? A little more of a gap, maybe. A little more of a gap, I think. That's how I feel about it. But that's if that's what they want to do, then that's what they're going to do, and whatever. I mean, but I feel like the Devils became a little bit interesting by hiring Lindy Ruff, who this is his last shot at it. And, yeah, he's been a few years removed from coaching Dallas. And
I don't think it's going to work out, to be honest. But
I don't see it working out either. Yeah, if this was like what? I don't know.
1999?
2010? No. Lindy had a lot of success with the Sabres in 2006.
No, I'm not discussing Lindy Ruff as a coach. What I'm saying is, though, it's not going to work out now.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Why now? Why now? Yeah, I mean, it brings
but,
up question
you know,
marks.
I feel like he's been around the block and he's been there, done that already. Just hire somebody else.
Hire
Gallant. Crazy agreed with me.
Maybe they just felt that he was good. Maybe he interviewed well. I don't know. You know, I don't know what goes into why an organization, why ownership decided that he was the right hire, and I got nothing against him. I do hope that things
he's
work
doing.
Out for him. But it's going to be strange seeing him on the opposite end of the bench when the Rangers and Devils get together.
That's
going to be a little
strange. Not a lifelong Ranger.
No, you know what I mean. Both for being a who goes from being a Rangers assistant to then coaching the Devils or coaching the Islanders? That doesn't happen. Well, the Flyers, for that matter. Oh, wait, AV
right.
did that. But AV took a year off. But like, but who does that, though? Lines up with the Devils or the Islanders. Has that ever happened before? You know what I'm saying. I think you know what I'm trying to say here. And
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the Devils have a lot of things. They have still have a lot of areas they have to fix with their roster. So, hey, I looked at their salary cap situation, Justin. They got almost like $9 million in cap room.
Who is this?
The New Jersey Devils.
Okay, what do they have?
They got like a little less than $9 million in cap room. So, I mean, that's good. But here's an interesting thing for them. So, Zajac, I think he's a little like 5.1 he makes up after next year. No trade clause, so he'll probably play out the year unless he decides to waive it, maybe go to a contender. Kyle Palmieri, moderated, no trade clause, and a bargain, 4.6, like that's what Kreider used to make. And he could go unrestricted next summer. I would lock him up. Personally, I like him. He's a 30-goal scorer. He's a guy who could get, like, double digits power play. I probably would keep him and bump him up or whatever, maybe make him a captain. But he's also – he could be unrestricted.
Zajac?
Well, Zajac's up to his spot all year. So.
Oh, never mind. Who are you going to be captain?
Palmieri.
I thought they would make use one of the captains.
It's too early. No, I'm saying
no one's even on the Devils though.
Palmieri,
like Taylor Hall was still there.
No, but he wasn't a captain either. But Palmieri, if they kept him, he's a guy that he would make sense for them to be a captain. Andy Green used to be their captain before he got traded to the Islanders. So if they keep Palmieri, if they decide to lock him up, I think it makes sense for him to do
right.
The other guy, and this looks like it was just a mistake on their part. They thought maybe he can produce a good level, a good clip, and the thing is he could skate. He's got good speed. But his first season with the Devils has been just a huge disappointment. I'm talking about Nikita Gusev. He did wind up with 44 points in 6. So that's not terrible. He came on 13 goals, 31 assists, but he struggled at even strength. He was a minus 15, so he's not a good 5-on-5 player. He's good on the power play. He makes, you know how much money he makes?
What?
He makes $4.5 million. That's a lot. I mean, they gave him 4.5 for 2 years. He has a moderated no trade clause next for the next season, and he could be unrestricted. So there's a good chance maybe they'll move on from him, or maybe he's 28 years old too. So these are all things to look at. Oh my God, is today July 8th?
Today's July 9th.
He just turned 28. Yeah, his birthday was yesterday.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Okay.
His birthday was it's July 8th, 1992. He's one of those small, good skaters, crafty player, but not really good at even strength 5-on-5. So that's why they didn't play him on the top line, but eventually he moved up to the second line. So their defense is an area, obviously, that they, is not going to be great. But they did get that one prospect, that big behemoth defense prospect from the Coyotes in that Taylor Hall trade. Yes, that guy's supposed to be pretty good. So I guess the future of their defense, it hinges on the big man that they got in the deal with the Arizona Coyotes. That would be this Kevin Ball guy, Kevin Ball. And and the defenseman that they selected in the first round a couple of years ago, Ty Smith. Those two defensemen are going to be very important in this trade. They also got a first-round pick from the Coyotes in this 2020 draft, bless you, and a conditional National third in 2021. I guess that's if maybe Taylor Hall resigns or something, or maybe how far the Pouties go. I don't know. I don't know. These conditional picks, you don't know how they work, you know? You know what? Fitzgerald did a great job in terms of what he got back there for Taylor Hall. And you should be able to get a premium for a Taylor Hall. Able to. Blake Coleman. Yeah. Blake Coleman. Oh, also the Devils got Nolan Foote. Right, they got he's the forward. That's the left wing. So that was a good pickup. The Rangers have got Foote's brother, who was a defenseman, Cal Foote. That would have been a good pickup. They got Nolan Foote in a conditional first in the 2020 draft. I guess it depends on whatever the condition is. I don't know. Maybe it depends on how far the Lightning go, or if Coleman decides to re-up. I have no idea. Is Coleman signed through next year? I don't even remember. Oh, okay, so yes. Okay, so no. You know what his cap hit is? Oh God, he is so cheap. Blake Coleman often makes $1.8 million, and he is unrestricted. He is unrestricted once this year ends. How would you like to have a Blake Coleman on the Rangers? I know, of course, there's no way we could fit him in, but wouldn't he be a great fit? Stick him on the third line, play penalty kill. Oh, I like Blake Coleman. I'm a big fan of him. I like him. He's
right.
28. He'll be 29 around Thanksgiving next year. November 28th. So this is a guy who scores 20 goals, plays shorthanded, good player. He also, you know what I like about him? He throws his weight around. He finishes every check. Nice player. Good skater, too. You know what he is? He's very similar to, like, John Madden. A similar kind of player. He can play center. He can take faceoffs. He can play left wing. Play penalty kill. I like him. He was a good Devil. So, he was a good Devil. With the Lightning, you only have one assist in 9 games. So, obviously, they'll look for a little more. They'll look for a little better production from Coleman if the playoffs come off. Because Coleman's one. Of course, he's a secondary guy there, but they would like a little better production than that. So, interesting stuff. What else do we got? Yeah, this has been mostly hockey. I have not talked about any other sport, actually. Very strange.
I could talk hockey. I could talk hockey still.
I'm just wondering. Like, how many of... we have a few guys that are unrestricted, right? Well, we have restricted free agents. We've got Tony D. How much of a contract? How much money?
What does he make right now?
I think he makes less than $2 million. He makes less than $1 million. That's right. He took his qualifier. That's right. $925,000.
He'll probably get $3 to $5 million.
He's going to get $5 million easy, also.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
53 points.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. They can't afford to lose him, I don't think. Yeah, honestly.
I don't think so either.
They've been looking for a power play quarterback for years, and like they found one.
He's 24 years old, 25.
He worked so well with the Panarin and Zibanejad power play unit.
Especially in the 4-on-4, too, or 3-on-3, whatever the hell it is. But, yeah, he does work very well with them. By the way, his birthday is October 24th, 1995, in case you were wondering.
Okay.
So, all
right.
That's interesting. Yeah, right after yours. What if you give him, like, $5.25 million and get him, lock him up for about 5 years, they think. Or maybe lock him up through his age 30 year. or 5.25.
She'll probably give him a bridge deal.
Think so?
Yeah, 2 to 3 years maybe. I think he's going to want more time.
You're probably right, but I like the idea of signing him longer term. But
no, so do I. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, the flattened cap kind of changes things. So he might be right. How about Pop? Oh, that's right. Buchnevich got his contract, what, last year? What's he signed through? Okay. He's got one more year. The contract looks pretty good, $3.25 million. That actually looks pretty fair when you think about him as a player. Yeah. He's a much better second half player, as we know.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay. That actually looks like a contract, though, for a Pavel Buchnevich. Okay. Ryan Strom. I think he's a restricted, right? Yeah, Ryan Strom is a restricted. He's 1 year away from unrestricted status, and he makes $3.1 million as cap hit. I mean, maybe he could take, would he take 1 year for like $4.5 million and play on a 1 year deal, or is he going to want to be locked up? He's a little bit older. He's 26, and he's turning 27 in 2 days, July 11th, 1983. So that's an interesting question. Strom, obviously, with the career year, just like D'Angelo, 18 goals, tied his career high, 41 assists, obliterated what he did before, and 59 points, and a plus 21. Of course, centering Artemi Panarin, he's become a leader for this team. Well, Mika's a bad.
All right, Chelsea, you're back?
Yeah, why? What was on mine?
No one. We're in overtime.
I know we're in. Oh, that was overtime and then it's at 2:20?
No, it ended at 2 o'clock.
No, when does it end, though?
Not until 3, but I'm not going to stay on that late. Does it make any
sense? Okay, I got you.
Do you think that Ryan Strom, as a restricted free agent, would take maybe a one-year contract of maybe like $4.5 million? Or is he going to want like a longer-term deal?
I don't know if it pays to sign him, to be honest.
I don't know.
He had a good year, I know that.
He's become kind of a leader for this team.
I know. I always think there's better players out there.
You know, if Filipino was further along, I would agree with you.
He's not further along, though.
That's a problem. Yeah, you can't just move him into that second center slot and just think it's going to be magic. Although, if he got a chance to play up there, and you'd think that it would work, but I don't know. Now, the other restricted free agent is Brendan Lemieux, a guy that doesn't have a brain.
Yeah, we know that.
He'll take stupid penalties, and he draws a lot of penalties. So I think he drew the most penalties on the team. If he just used his head, you know, he just played with a little more common sense, he could be an effective player. Just, we don't know. I can't really. Very hard to say.
Right.
I don't even know why I'm looking at the free agent situation. I just decided to for some stupid reason. What about Jesper Fast? Is he a guy that you bring back or is he gone?
I don't know. I think he's gone because they have players to replace him with. Players of his type, I mean.
Like the kid from Cornell.
Who's that? I forgot. Who's that again?
Morgan Barron.
Oh, yeah, right. They just have to put more players like that in the pipeline, though, is what I'm saying.
They have one guy that he drafted late that looks like a guy that could replace him. if he comes over. I don't know if he's going to come over now because of the
what's his name?
Coronavirus. I gotta relook up his name. He's got kind of a weird name.
Punjabi.
Yes. Yeah, that's the guy.
I thought he signed one more year and the finish or something. Like
that. No, that was Neil.
Okay.
You said that he signed one more year. I'm gonna check on that.
No. I was thinking about Neil Funkless. I don't know.
I think you probably were, but
that's what I was thinking.
Probably will. He probably, if he hasn't already, probably is gonna return to Europe there because of this whole thing. So, he's only 20. Well, actually,
yeah, I'm just saying they have more players like that in the pipeline.
Not the crazy part is, Boff makes $1.8 million on the cap. He's cheap. It's not gonna cost a lot.
I mean, what's the point of signing him, tie him up though?
But I'm not saying you have to tie him up. I mean,
how many more years would you give him? Two.
How old is Jesper Fast?
How many more years would you give him on a new contract?
He's unrestricted though, so I mean, he's not gonna get 2 years. He's gonna want like four.
I was gonna say three. But okay.
I know. If you could get him, I don't think if you could get him for three, I would do it.
I would do it for two, to be honest with you.
I'm gonna predict he winds up with like the Detroit Red Wings because they could use a player like that.
Right.
No, they can use a guy like that actually. So I don't know. Man, it's so strange. You know, you can never figure out where these guys are gonna wind up and you know how they're gonna manage the cap situation. But, you know, I'll be real curious to see, you know, what develops between now and training camp and then if they can actually have this tournament and if they could complete the season. So, and you got baseball, and you got players testing positive and pulling out.
Right.
Like Trout, of course, is up in the air. And it's tough. It is tough. It's a weird time, obviously. So, it'd be rough. I mean, you've got to coach Devils. It's going to be interesting. And I'm hoping tomorrow, maybe I'll be able to get Rob Davis on or maybe get somebody that knows something about the Devils to give their input because I think it would be good, even if it's negative. Oh, just want to get some input, you know. So,
everyone.
Well, Rob would be good to get on. Ryan would be good because he knows it'd be rough a little bit.
Yeah, I know. So, is Brian really in North Dakota, wherever he is?
Is Brian where?
Wherever he was, I don't know.
I don't know. He finally is chatting with me. He doesn't say anything. He just randomly gets the message to me. I don't know, he's so strange.
What'd he say?
It's almost like Brian's playing a game.
What'd he say?
I don't know. We just chat. I don't know. Our chats are just very weird. I don't know. I have no idea what to say. Maybe tomorrow I'll do a wrestling show. I don't know.
I don't want to do a wrestling show, really.
Why? Well, I could talk about wrestling.
I'd rather talk hockey. Man.
You'd rather talk hockey.
Again,
talk about... All right. You got any final thoughts? I'm going to wrap up.
About what?
About whatever we're talking about, hockey. Whether it's Rangers related, Devils, whatever. Any final thoughts?
Really.
You don't have any thoughts?
Not really.
All right. So I'm gonna wrap this up anyway. I just want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for coming on.
Okay.
Great job as always. And thank you to Justin for bringing some interesting perspective. And what I like about you is that you tell it straight. And that's something that we need. Oh. well, that's gonna do it for this episode. Check out our next one. All right, that's it for the show. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your late Wednesday evening into Thursday morning, and we'll see you all on the next Tar Heels. For Justin Fields, this is Derek Fields signing off. See you all next time. Good night.